new movies being released later on the show. Does Richard Krause love these movies? The latest in streaming and great recommendations from Amber Dowling next hour. And all of it you can find wherever you go on the News Talk Tonight podcast. Find it. I mean, it's on the Apple. It's the iHeartRadio app. It's whatever you use. You'll find the lovely dulcet tones of Jim Richards. Later on this hour, we find out how they're going to trace the progress of new Canadians over a 7-year study to see what happens to them. And running in cemeteries, do you have a problem with people running in cemeteries? That is on the way on the iHeartTalk Radio Network.
News Talk Tonight is on with your host, Jim Richards, on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
But first, folks, it's time for
All Aboard!
Choo-choo! It's something that we call Train of Thoughts.
Choo-choo!
All right, so we're starting off Train of Thoughts with our in-depth analysis of the street racing problem that many communities in this nation have. We asked our production team yesterday, it was Anthony and Tony, to give us their best muscle car impression, and then people voted. Tony was the clear winner. Andrew came in today because Anthony's not working, and to say that he was peeved would be an understatement. He's like, I'm never doing your show again unless I can get the behind the wheel of that fake car and challenge Tony, who was driving behind the wheel of his fake car. So now it is time. We have been waiting for this time for a while. Ladies and gentlemen, here is Andrew.
Something called a rapporteur.
That's the wrong clip, folks. It's terrible when you don't have your clips in line. Now, ladies and gentlemen, here's me playing the right clip. Andrew with his car, muscle car, for street racing. Vote Andrew or vote Tony right now at 7-10-10. Vote Andrew or vote Tony at 7-10-10. Okay, folks.
Choo-choo!
In Georgia, they're reminding people you need to be wearing clothes when you take the picture for your driver's license. Good reminder. Wait a second. Why did they have to remind people anyway? Oh, yeah, because you don't know what's going to happen in a state that votes for Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Choo-choo!
Did you know that Tina Turner was born Anna Mae Bullock in Nutbush, Tennessee? 100% true, folks. So we thought we would test people's skill on what is the real name of certain celebrities. So now here to play, what's the real name of certain celebrities is Andrew and Tony. Starting with you, Andrew, who is Sean Corey Carter?
Sean Corey Carter? I have no idea.
That's Jay-Z, Andrew. Now for Tony. Tony, who is Austin Post?
It's Tom Cruise.
It's Post Malone.
Oh, yeah.
You guys are terrible at this. Who is Abel Tesfaye? Abel Tesfaye. It's a Torontonian, Andrew. Who's that?
The Weeknd?
Correct. And finally, for Tony, who is Melissa Vivian Jefferson?
Melissa McCarthy.
Nope, that is Lizzo. That is going to do it for no celebrities' real names.
Choo-choo!
All right, a new study says from UCLA says that pot doesn't carry the same risk of COPD and lung cancer as tobacco does. When they heard this, millions of pot users started celebrating. Then they quickly forgot why.
Choo-choo!
A survey found that constantly checking your phone is one of the worst things that you could do on a first date. Mostly because I'm checking my phone on the first date. I'm checking Tinder. I'm like, this person I'm sitting across from doesn't look like it they do on Tinder. That's the reason I'm checking my phone every 2 seconds.
Choo-choo!
One in five of us think that our fake British accent is good enough to fool a British person. One in five of us. I wonder if we can get a British person calling us up where I can do my British accent and they can be honest with me about whether or not I sound like a British person, or do I sound like I am a person who's doing an accent? I think we know the answer. We don't have to actually find our British person.
Choo-choo!
DJ Khaled says playing golf helped him lose. Is the answer A, 15 pounds, or B, credibility? Yeah. DJ Khaled, I'm not sure. Yeah, I think it's credibility. I'm accurate. Thank you very much.
Choo-choo.
LeBron James says he may retire. Well, what a career. 38,652 points, 4 NBA championships, and 1 terrible, awful remake of Space Jam.
Choo-choo!
I was in a pizza joint a couple of weeks ago. Tony, stop me if I've told this story. And I got a pizza. It was like a quarter to midnight, and they were just wrapping up. So I was lucky that I got in there before they locked the doors. And I got my pizza. And then right after I got my pizza slice, they took every pizza slice that was on display, about 3 pizzas worth, and threw them in the garbage. It broke my heart. I had to pay for that? No. What broke my heart was that I can't imagine that you can't find a way to repurpose that stuff. Throwing out perfectly good pizza, you can't donate it or something? I thought, shame on these people. But of course, I'm not looking for an argument, so I just kept on going.
Choo-choo!
It is a happy 64th birthday to Morrissey. His fans, I'm sure, are wishing him a very sullen, totally depressing birthday. Way to go, Morrissey. Hopefully you'll be celebrating and be just as, I don't know, the guy never looks happy. Am I wrong on that? Like, never, ever looks happy.
Choo-choo!
I wanted to play this audio that we discovered yesterday of a politician, a Republican in the great state of Georgia, who thinks that globes are fake. Actually, she's a flat earther, and she is convinced that every single globe out there, I don't know if I see a lot of globes, but she's seeing a lot of globes, that all of the globes are just to brainwash people because actually the earth is flat.
I can't unsee this. All the globes everywhere. I turn on TV, there's globes in the background. There's globes on there right here. Like, this would be a globe if I was a normal person. Like, everywhere there's globes. My children will be like, Mama, globe, 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 globe. They're everywhere. And that's what they do to brainwash. And so for me, if it is not a conspiracy, if it is, you know, real, why are you pushing so hard? Everywhere I go, every store, you buy a globe. There's globes everywhere, every movie, every TV show, news media. Why?
And that, ladies and gentlemen, as I said yesterday, is the next president of the United States of America.
We won with poorly educated. I love the poorly educated.
Yep.
USA, USA, USA.
Thank Thank you very much, by the way. If you're angry about that, don't forget to complain to me by writing me at jerry.agar@newstalk1010.com. Oh, you're sending your hate mail to Jerry? That's a lazy thing to do. No, he's my secretary. That's what he did. He's my secretary. This is News Talk Tonight.
Choo-choo!
This is News Talk Tonight with Jim Richards on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Welcome back to the iHeart Talk Radio Network. Thank you. I hope you have yourself a great weekend wherever you are. As mentioned, and thank you very much for the emails from all parts of the country. From Kelowna, we got an email that says, Jim, thank you for being on top of something that can be quite catastrophic in our community. That is the topic of street racing. Love the way that you're bravely handling this. Let's get back to it. Yesterday, Tony won with his version of our production team tonight is Andrew, who's a technical producer, and Tony, who is the content producer. And yesterday, Tony, street racing muscle car sound sounded like this. Andrew, if you just missed it, just 10 minutes ago, gave us his muscle car, and it is this. Oh, it's going to be close. This could be one of the closest races ever. Could be a photo finish. 7-10-10. Are you voting Tony? Or are you voting Andrew? Also, if you're a mechanic, we would love to hear you kind of dissect what you've just heard. 1-855-633-1010. 1-855-633-1010. I'm sure all of the kids. Oh, yeah. Another message that we got from somebody in Vaughan. Somebody says, Jim, we're all gathered around the radio. It's our crew. We're in a Tim Hortons parking lot with our hot rods / muscle cars enjoying listening to talk radio. I'm sure these guys do. I'm sure it's one of the one of the things they enjoy talking about. Like, number one would probably be Fast and Furious and how accurate the plots are. And the second thing would probably be, hey, did you hear what Jim Richards said? Because people in on that scene, they love talking about talk radio is what they like to do. Can I get a serious topic going? For once, yesterday, I didn't have enough time to address this, but I noticed that somebody was very angry where I live. It's not really close to where I live, but I was on a big walk a couple of weekends ago and was close to a cemetery, and somebody was angry at somebody jogging through a cemetery. And I just thought that that was really unusual. So let us know whether or not you think that is in poor taste to jog through a cemetery. Cemetery usually has paved pathways and part places where you could go, so it's not disrespectful. I don't know. Do you want your loved one to be locked up, chain and fence or a locked gate, and nobody ever go in there unless they're a part of the family of somebody who was lost? Is that what you want? Because it's not what I want. The great cemeteries, at least here in Toronto, and listen, I think Ottawa and probably Montreal have just the same sort of stuff, where there are cemeteries that are older or just as old as the country that are so beautiful and well landscaped that, you know, you would want it to be a lively place. Now, if there's a funeral going on or a burial going on and you run by or you're running over graves or you're off the path, I get that. If you have a dog and you're letting the dog run wild or you're letting the dog do what dogs will do anywhere, then that is disrespectful. But somebody jogging through, I think that that's what a real cemetery should be. It should be a vibrant part of the community. And again, I mean that in a certain kind of way, in that, hey, if mom and dad have a stroller and a dog on a leash and are going to go through a well-landscaped cemetery on a Saturday afternoon, I think you should do that. But I don't know running or exercising. This person emails and goes, I'm sure you can afford the $10 a month that it is to get a membership to Planet Fitness. 1-855-633-1010. A couple of text messages. Yes, it's disrespectful, but worse is letting your dog, yes, on a headstone. Another one says, as long as you don't walk or run on the graves, I don't see what the problem is. Charles in Ottawa, 1-855-633-1010. 1-855-633-1010. Here is in Lachine. It's Bergeron. Bergeron, thank you very much for your time.
Hello, I'm from the 514 area code. It's Dan Laxers. I'm not going to mention the radio station. And
CJAD 800.
Yes.
Sounds like Montreal. That was the slogan when I was growing up in Montreal.
TSN, my other favorite, TSN 690.
690, yep. Okay, let's change topics. Let's go through all of the radio stations in Montreal. Okay, Shome with my friend Jay Michaels. What else do you got?
I got 514 is 5 plus 1 is 6 plus 4 is 10. I give you a 10 on 10.
I don't want to know what you're doing right now.
You piss me off. I listen to the radio all the time.
Are we on the topic? Should the dosage of edibles be higher? What are we doing right now?
You go through a cemetery at night.
Yep.
And really do the fun. Let's go. If you're going to run way in the day, come on. People can see you. Why don't you go at night?
Great voice, by the way.
Just go at night and that'd be fun. Right?
Go, like, what do you mean? Do, like, scary stories in the cemetery?
I think it's kind of weird that you're running through a cemetery. Really.
Do you?
I do.
I don't know.
I really think it's weird. I don't know.
I don't think it's weird. Did you say you thought it was weird?
I think it's weird. My cousin buries people, too.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You enjoy the evening. I think it's too late to say that, though. I think that man is enjoying the evening, and all the more power to him. But we didn't hear his full list of radio stations in Montreal, which I'm sure I would have enjoyed. 1-855-633-1010. Honestly, if you have a great park that is a part of your city, that is a cemetery, and I think you want the public to use it. I honestly do. I don't think there's anything wrong with running through a cemetery. Now, if you're not running over the graves and you're staying on the paved paths, what is the problem? Dylan in Ottawa, you have lovely cemeteries / parks in Ottawa.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's meant to be a solemn place. I mean, whether it's Toronto, Montreal here, we have in Ottawa Beechwood Cemetery where there's some very, very old prime ministers who are buried there. And so if you're going to go through and pay your respects and you want to admire things and sort of take in the sights, but I don't think it's some place for people to jog. It's not meant to be some happening place, Jim. You know, it's meant to be, like I say, a solemn place. If you're going to go pay your respects, that's one thing, but it's not meant to just be some place to just, you know,
okay.
Do whatever.
Okay, Dylan, good point. But how do you think running and being healthy and being, I don't know, is disrespectful to people who, you're right, it's a place where people mark someone that is very special to them and they go there to say a prayer for their mom or their dad. But how is running by in a quiet, respectful manner, how is that disrespecting?
Well, I don't think you're like running in a respectful manner. I mean, I think it's not what it's meant for. There's all kinds of like other paths you can go on. People jog in the street, whatever. Like what if, like you say, if somebody's having a funeral or if they are going there to pay respects or plant flowers or water the flowers that they already planted,
yep.
And people are just jogging by, I don't think that's right.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you for your opinion. Here is Matt, who is in North Bay. Matt, do you differ or do you agree with the last caller?
Jim, buddy, love the show. Absolutely disagree with the last caller, though.
Okay.
My girlfriend and I, we used to jog back when we lived, like, right by a cemetery. We used to jog through there on the evenings. when there's people like commemorating their lost ones, we obviously don't run by them. Like, I don't see anything disrespectful or, yeah, I don't see anything disrespectful about running through a cemetery to get some exercise.
It's you hold on, the last caller, reason. The last caller thought it was disrespectful. You don't.
I do not, no.
I do not either. Listen, Matt, thank you very much for the kind words, and thank you for the call. And Katrina in Hamilton just called, which is kind of Katrina's thing to call when there's 10 seconds left in the segment. If you're a migrant that has just come to Canada, there's a new program that will chart your progress in integrating over 7 years. We'll talk about it next on the iHeartTalk Radio Network.
This is the iHeartRadio Talk Network, and News Talk Tonight continues with Jim Richards.
Apparently, I am the devil for encouraging people. I'm not encouraging people to go for a run, a jog in a cemetery. I just don't see the problem. Now, if you were getting your kids together and you were playing street hockey on one of the paved paths or streets in the cemetery, I would think that would be problematic, okay? But, like, a run through? Honestly, I see people making great uses of cemeteries by making them vibrant places that you would want your loved ones to be buried in, not something that would be the stereotype of a cemetery from a scary movie that's not alive and is forgotten. So that's my final stance on that topic. I've never did a dismount on a topic like that. I love to do the dismount. And that is my final comment. Ta-da! We're joined right now by Anna Triandafili-Du, who is the Canadian Excellence Research Chair in Migration and Integration. She joins us right now because at the Toronto Metropolitan University, they're going to be doing a 7-year study on how migrants integrate into Canada. And I thought it would be a very interesting conversation. Anna, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, so one of the things that I think is interesting is that one of the things talk radio used to like to do was say people just want to come to this country and get our health care and live off the system. But if you live in a city, Montreal, Windsor, Ottawa, any city, what you see is a bunch of new Canadians really grinding. I mean, on the city streets, left and right, almost everything in the gig economy, people are trying to make ends meet. And I tip my hat to every single person who is doing that during these tough economic times. So what is the difference between what you're doing, saying an immigrant, versus what you're doing, which is migrants? Now, I know what a migrant is, but is the study going to differentiate? How do you think that their path would be different?
Okay, I think you're getting right to the point of this. So traditionally in Canada, we used to talk about immigrants, and an immigrant is someone who comes to this country as a permanent resident. And that used to be the case. The main way into Canada, whether through family migration, through economic migration, which is actually the bulk of entries in Canada. And we used to think a migrant is almost a bad thing, a bad word, because a migrant is someone who is temporarily here and we don't know if they're going to stay. But what we know now is, because the world is changing, not just Canada, a lot of people come to this country, whether it's international students or with a temporary work permit, and then they want to make this place their home, and they transition to permanent residency. So actually what we're saying in this new research program is we want to study everyone, not just the permanent residents. We want to understand what is happening with those who are temporarily here, those who are leaving, why are they leaving, those who are staying, do they manage to stay, and how are they doing? And I very much agree with what you said. I think living in a place like Toronto, but many cities around Canada, not just Toronto, Montreal, and Vancouver, I can think of Edmonton and Calgary, Halifax, and Moncton, where we see a lot of new Canadians actually making ends meet and you know, being very active and having their kids in schools.
Mm. So what, over the course of 7 years, are you particularly interested in learning about the journey? Because I got to say that I think Canada is a great country, and I think the people who don't think that Canada is a great country are the people you can hear almost every day whining about things. But there's a lot to be concerned about, given the cost of living and all sorts of stuff. So I don't know what I would make of coming to, a big city, Montreal, Ottawa, Toronto, Windsor, and then be like, wait a second, the people who have lived here all of their life, they're moving out of the city because they can't afford it. I want to be in the city because that's where services are, or that's where people who speak my language are. Mm-hmm. So it seems like a very difficult time.
It's a complicated situation. If if we look at the data of the census that were published back in November, it's happening exactly what you said. So we see, for instance, Toronto has grown by 2% in the last 5 years, which is much less than what Halifax and Moncton have done, which have grown approximately 10%, and that might surprise us. But what happens in Toronto is a lot of people have come in, but quite a few people have left. And there is a concern, that is true, that in Toronto we have, the people who are more well-off, or perhaps the older couples with adult children who have left the home, so people who don't have particular care obligations or, financial obligations, and also the newcomers who, for the reason that you said, that a lot of the jobs are here, there's public services, public transportation, community, so this is the first place to land. And there is a concern that there's a hollowing out of the city, so that young and a little less young families with young kids or with teenagers that are struggling to make ends meet are moving out. And actually, we know that most people who leave Toronto, they go to other places in Ontario because of the cost of living. But I want to say what our program will do is actually tackle a lot of these issues right from the start, because we feel that we shouldn't look at migrant integration as a separate thing. So how are migrants doing in the labor market? How are migrants doing in housing? How are they doing, for instance, in relation to access to health services, both mental and physical health? We've learned a lot from the pandemic, how important mental health is too, and how mental health and physical health are really communicating very closely. So what we want to look at is how the whole of society is changing. For instance, technology, we pay particular attention to technology. We've seen technology has opened so many new opportunities, but also so many challenges. For instance, many of us now work hybrid, some days from home, some days from the office. Even companies have changed their rules and regulations. People have started new jobs with completely digital onboarding without meeting their colleagues. So, for instance, that's a challenge and an opportunity for everyone. We want to look at this and look at how this particularly affects people who are newcomers, who may, for instance, not know the way we do things around here. And when you go to a physical workplace, you learn this quite quickly.
Yeah.
If you're working from home, that's a whole different story. On the other hand, maybe, for instance, if you don't have very good English, doing your work online gives you more time to, study what you have to do and perform better. So we want to see how these challenges and opportunities affect everyone, but particularly whether newcomers or settled migrants. And what I said is I think technology is changing the way we work, but also the way we live, the way we, for instance, access services, whether health services, but even things like transportation. Technology can help cities plan better, for instance, how to deal with the housing crisis. We want to look also on how technology can make us more cohesive as a society, or actually can lead to polarization. We've seen, I think, south of the border, what has been happening with the ideological but also effective polarization. Unfortunately, many of the U.S. people can't speak to each other anymore. In Canada, we're lucky in the fact that we have built a society that is much more cohesive, but it is important to stay that way. And to stay that way, we need to understand how, for instance, social media are affecting, politics, because social media can be actually a big connector. Yeah. They can help people mobilize for something they care about. They can help people connect. We've seen even transnational mobilization. Take the case of Iran. The Canadian, the Iranian Canadian diaspora here mobilized in favor of the women protesting in Iran.
Yeah.
At the same time, we've seen, unfortunately, a lot of antisocial.
Anna, I'm sorry, I've got to wrap this up. We're at the end of our segment, but it sounds like some very useful information will be gleaned from this in 7 years' time after you trace migrants and how they integrate into Canada. Thank you very much for sharing your study with us.
Thank you very much, too, and I look forward to speaking to you again.
Thank you very much. Really appreciate it. That is Anna Triandafilidou. Straight ahead, we have Laura Babcock fixes everything on some of the big crises from this past week.
It's News Talk Tonight on the iHeartRadio Talk Network. Here's your host, Jim Richards.
Fridays mean one thing. We take a look back at the week in terms of news stories, and we see if we can improve on the communications for people involved in things that might have gone a little bit sideways. It's called Laura Fixes Everything. Laura Babcock of Power Group Communications and The O Show. Happy weekend, Laura.
And to you, Jim.
Okay, let's get right into it. I thought it was funny and maybe apropos, the Ron DeSantis campaign launch south of the border with Elon Musk went sideways and might be indicative of his entire campaign, which seems to be based on hoping that Donald Trump is indicted again and maybe convicted by the time that an election will roll around. I'm not sure if that timeline would even work, but I'm not sure why you would run up against Donald Trump if he's got a 30-point lead on you. But what did you think of the launch?
Well, you know, he did it with Elon Musk, which made no sense. The video promoting it was the two of them. You couldn't tell who was running for president. And then it was supposed to be moderated by some random guy who's probably, you know, a buddy of Elon's and could give some money to the DeSantis campaign. But the whole thing looked like a bad infomercial. It was just a couple of photos. You couldn't even see them. There was no video. It was like it's done in Twitter Spaces as an audio thing. So we're going back like 50 years in presidential political launches. It was like a radio thing. The only problem is it didn't work. So here Elon's trying to showcase this historic first on his $44 billion Twitter platform that he purchased and is ruining. And he couldn't even get the technology to work. And he had let go of a lot of the technicians, right? When he took it over.
Yeah.
I guess he needed them for this. So for DeSantis, it was a total disaster from, you know, and Elon had just had a rocket that failed to launch. So it was easy from a public relations perspective for people to jump on that narrative, failure to launch for DeSantis. But, you know, it just showed how poorly conceived his campaign is. And Trump was making jokes during it and got even more popular as a result. But to your point, though, Trump may well be indicted. His former lawyer thinks that he's going to have jail time for at least the documents case. And he might even be in jail during the campaign, but he can still run for president in the U.S. You can run for president from jail. So who knows what's going to happen?
What a great country. Nobody will care either. I mean, nobody's going to be like, that's the last straw. I'm taking off my MAGA hat. None of those people will even care. I wanted to talk about the communications around, and you can address this from any of the individuals, from Trudeau or Johnston or Pierre Poilievre, the communications around the announcement and the fallout of the rapporteur saying we do not need an inquiry. I think we need an inquiry just to clear the air. And I think that there is probably no qualified person, no person in this country who's as qualified as David Johnston, but I still think he was the wrong guy just because of optics. And thus, justice may be done, but it doesn't appear seen to be done.
Well, listen, we all kind of believe that where there's smoke, there's fire. And so in this case, you've got the communications juggernaut of Poilievre, who's going to keep stoking this fire. So we're all blinded by the smoke to the point where it's like, no, we can't see anything anymore. There's no transparency with Trudeau government on this. We need to have a public inquiry. It's the only way to clear the air. I mean, it's been a very successful strategy for Poilievre to keep stoking this fire. But when it comes to Trudeau, what bothers me about this is not just that I think he's out of touch with Canadians. Canadians in terms of that we really care about our democracy. We see what's happening in the U.S. We're just joking about it, but it's pretty scary. There's fascism on the rise with those two people we were talking about, Trump and DeSantis. We don't want that in Canada. We don't want any kind of interference in Canadian politics. So we're concerned. And Trudeau has treated this whole thing like it was a bit of a pain in the butt to even pursue. He should have gone with the inquiry immediately so he could own the narrative on this. Instead, he comes up with this middle management position, you know, brings in a friend of his who was part of the Trudeau Foundation. It's not just that they were ski buddies, as Pierre Poilievre has hung the label now successfully on Johnston. It's that he was part of the foundation, the Trudeau Foundation, which also received money from China at one time. So it just looks bad. So what bugs me as a PR person is that, is Trudeau getting so arrogant that he doesn't think that this is going to be problematic, even for people who don't like Poilievre and support Trudeau? We look at it and say, you know what?
Yep.
This doesn't look good. You know, clear the smoke yourself. Be the firefighter yourself.
And then let the guy double down and say, oh, I'm the guy to do the hearings. So you've got to say, hey, thanks for this work. We're going to get somebody else to do these hearings.
Well, absolutely. It looks as though there's some sort of hubris going on. I'm not accusing Johnston of that, but he can't. He's not the only person who can do these hearings. And he's a person who is already in the court of public opinion. Looks like he has a conflict of interest just by his work on the Trudeau Foundation board recently. So this is a mistake that Trudeau keeps making. And you have to ask yourself, is he still in touch with how Canadians are feeling? Or is he a little bit in an ivory tower after all these years in as the prime minister?
Yeah, I would agree with that 100%. You know, when all this was happening, I thought it was odd that the transportation minister was out making an announcement claiming that they've made a move to make flights easier this year. Of course, it was a disaster coming out of the pandemic last year, but it's really a nothing announcement that affects people who have nexus and are in the military, and maybe you're a diplomat, and I can't see it actually affecting any lineup at all. I thought it was a bit wagging the dog, but maybe I'm wrong. But do you think that that was an intentional communications play that, hey, the rapporteur is going to come out and let's make another announcement? Because it just seems so dumb because it was so nothing.
Yeah, when I saw that there was going to be fast-tracking flights and something to do with all those lotion bottles we have to open up with our suitcases, I was excited because I'm going on a trip to Europe. And I'm like, yes. And then I found out, oh, wait, no, it's only for like a very few people. Yeah. And this is not a major announcement of any kind. Was it strategic? It's hard to imagine anything coming out of cabinet as not being strategically aligned. They would know what the announcements are coming out of the PMO's office, especially something as big as the growing, you know, scandal around this rapporteur and the whole China thing. So, you know, to have another announcement out there, you almost think if it was a significant announcement, they wouldn't have done it on the same time because they would have wanted all of the coverage for the significant announcement. So maybe this was them just trying to throw something else out there to, you know, water down the blowback that they were probably going to get from Johnston's report. So I would imagine it was strategic, but I don't think it worked.
Something happened that was interesting on my show this past week. The father of a 12-year-old boy who was charged with assault at a hockey game. And if we're to take the father at his word and it being accurate, it sounds like every kid was punching each other. He just happened to land a punch that caused a concussion and was charged. I was interested in your thoughts on communicating and whether or not you think that, you know, if you got a kid involved in something like that, should the father, who I thought did a great job, should you be talking?
Well, it depends what you have to say, right? I mean, if the father was making a case that was counterintuitive or could be contrasted by video that the police had or something, and it looked like he was just being belligerent and defending his child, then no. But from what I gleaned from the father's interview is that he was trying to say, okay, this is what actually happened. There was a melee on the ice. My son ran in at the end. He was defending smaller players. He hit this guy. The guy went to his knees. A bunch of other kids piled on top of him. How is it after months of being told we wouldn't have charges that suddenly there's charges being pressed against my kid and not the rest? So once you hear that, and if you have kids in sports, as I do, you understand that, you know, sometimes things are more complicated. This kid is 12 years old. He's getting fingerprinted. And, you know, this is going to hang on him, if not in his record psychologically anyway, for the rest of his life. It seems like an overreach. And so if you've got a case to make for your child, especially if your child doesn't want to come forward or can't be revealed, then of course you go out there and you fight for your kid.
I want you to have a great weekend, Laura Babcock of the Hamilton Babcocks.
You do, Jim, of the Toronto Gyms.
Thank you very much. Laura Babcock fixes everything. If you ever have a topic that you want us to address at the end of the week, maybe let us know. You can get a hold of me on social media. I'm Jim Richards, and this is the Friday edition of News Talk Tonight on the iHeart Talk Radio Network.